turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Brother Edward asked me this morning right before preaching time, and if I could preach tonight, and I always try to say yes. And then after I said it, I'm like, what in the world are you going to preach? And I had worked on a little thought earlier this week. And then as he was preaching, I was just looking at what he was preaching and thinking about it. And, you know, preachers always looking for something to preach. And so I want to take where he left off this morning in Hebrews chapter 3 and just take it one step further. Hebrews chapter 3, and we'll start in verse number 12. You pray for me. Like I told you, I had no idea I was preaching, and I certainly had no idea I was preaching this. Never have preached it before, but you pray for me, all right? And we'll hope and pray that the Lord will bless it, and it'll be a blessing to you. Hebrews chapter number 3 and verse number 12. The Bible says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are many partakers of Christ, for we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our covenant steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation. You may be seated. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you, Lord, as humbly as we know how. God, begging you and asking you, Lord, to touch us and use us. God, I pray you just help these folks. God, you know what they need. God, you know what I need tonight. God, I pray you just minister to us and through us in a mighty way. Lord, we give you all the praise and honor and glory. In Christ's holy name, I do pray. Amen, amen. Brother Edward preached this morning on drifting too far from the shore. As he was began to preach, I began to read this and study it and just go over it. And I noticed that here this is written to the Christian. In verse number 1, it says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. In verse number 12, it says, take heed, brethren, amen, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. Now, as I was thinking about that, it's hard for me to believe that there's an evil heart in the brethren. But notice what he says here. He says there be an evil heart of unbelief. So what is a heart of unbelief? A heart of unbelief is a lack of faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. So that must tell me that if we don't have the faith that we ought to, then we got an evil heart. Hey, can I get in line this morning or tonight and say there's a many a time I must have an evil heart? Hey, because there's a lot of times, amen, as a child of God, I don't have the faith that I ought to. I don't have the faith sometimes that I need to. And here, because of that evil heart, because of that lack of faith, as Brother Edward preached this morning, we can start drifting. But here I want to start in verse number 13 and just kind of preach through this. Please keep your Bibles open as we'll be turning to several passages of Scriptures tonight. He says, but exhort one another daily what it is called today. I want to call that the to press on. We're to press on, amen. We're to exhort. That word exhort means to encourage, to urge, to call on, amen. Hey, that's what we try to do around here. Amen. That's the reason we have testimony services every once in a while, is to encourage one another. Amen. So when you stand up and you say, hey, I got a praise report. Hey, let me tell you what God did for me this week. Hey, let me tell you what God did for me in my life. Amen. I can be encouraged about what God led you through. And it gives me faith. Hey, to go on. Amen. It says to exhort one another. Now that tells me that it's my job to try to exhort you. And it's your job to try to exhort me. And it's our job to try to exhort somebody else. Amen. It said exhort one another daily. Then they said, well, you might not have got what daily means. So it said, while it is called today. Hey, so we could say, well, we're going to exhort somebody tomorrow. That'll be a day, amen. But God said, no, you need to exhort them today. Hey, why do you reckon it said that we need to exhort somebody today while it is called today? Hey, maybe we don't know what, I don't know what you're going through. Hey, you don't know what I'm going through. Hey, but if you exhort me, if you encourage me, hey, maybe what I'm going through, I can go through it, amen. Amen. It's our job to encourage one another. It's our job to lift up the brethren. It's our job to be a blessing to one another. He says to exhort one another while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You ever thought about that? How sin is deceitful? Look with me down in verse number 16. It says, for some, when they had heard, did provoke. They provoke one another. Turn with me. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm losing my place. But turn with me to Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter number 3. We're talking about sin being deceitful. Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, ye shall be a God, knowing good and evil. Now, when you want to look at something, when you want to study something out, you want to go to the first time that it's called first mention in the Bible, that deceitfulness of sin, it started way back yonder with Adam and Eve. How that the Bible says that the serpent beguiled Eve, amen. Verse number 6, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. All right, when it was good for food, that's the lust of the flesh. When it was pleasant to the eyes, that's the lust of the eyes. And the tree to be desired to make one wise, that's the pride of life. She took the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband and with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons. Here, when they got what they want, amen, they realized they didn't want what they had, amen. I tell you what they did was their eyes were open, and they knew how they were naked, and so they tried to cover themselves. Did you know the story how when God came to them and he called to them looking for them? Verse number 16, turn with me. The Bible says, unto the woman said, God said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now let me ask you something, women. Do you think it was a fair trade? Hey, do you think that being able to see the difference between good and evil was a fair trade for what you got? Look at the man, verse number 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened to the voice of thy wife. You see that? He didn't say, because you were deceived. You understand that Adam knew what he was doing. He knew that, are you listening to me? He knew that when he bit of that fruit, he was going to be separated from God. But he, at the time, he would rather be separated from God than be separated from the woman. He chose the companionship of the woman over the companionship of God. You know, that's what every woman wants. She wants a man that will give his life for her. You don't believe it? We was in the Mexican restaurant one time. They was coming and doing a birthday thing. They come through there and they had this thing. I don't know. It sounded like a machine gun. They come and they didn't start that. They were just kind of singing and dancing, coming through there, and they were just, you know, doing the boogie woogie and the butterfly flutter and the grasshopper wiggle, and they were just, you know, coming down there. And by that time they got to us, they took that thing and said, "Pa-da-da-da-da." I was sitting on the end. Tracy took me and shoved me out into the aisle. I promise you, just probably harder than that. I said, "What in the world are you doing?" She said, "You got to die first, son. We might all die, but you die first." Amen. I'm telling you, that's what a woman wants. I don't know how I'm going to get you back, but I'm going to try. Amen. Yeah, hearken to the voice of thy wife, and hath eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee. Say, now said, now eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, in the sorrow thou shalt eat thereof. Eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return to the ground, for out of it wast thou taken. For dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. I want to ask you, man, did we get a fair shake on the head? Was it a good deal that we got, that our eyes were open so we could see that we was running around out there naked and now we got to work by the sweat of our brow and the ground that we till? It's going to give us thorns and thistles instead of fruit and vegetables. Wasn't a good deal. We should have kept the deal that we had. Amen. Oh, yeah. But that was only the beginning of it. Verse number 23 says, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man. Yeah. Adam didn't want to leave the garden. Are you kidding me? Yeah. I mean, he had it made in the shade, if you will. He didn't want to leave. God had to drive him out. And he had to place in the east garden of Eden cherubims with a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. If he hadn't have done that, they'd have kept eating that fruit. Eating that fruit. They'd still be alive. You say, where is this tree of life? I don't know, but I believe it's still there myself. Anyway, sin is deceitful. I mean, we always see them commercials. They always got a half-naked woman. That you can't even sell a hog feed without a half-naked woman on the bag, amen. But you don't see that. You see them sitting on TV smoking them Marlboros. I call them cowboy killers, amen. They smoking it. They got this beautiful woman smoking it, blowing smoke. They got her drinking a little glass of wine. It all looks all pretty and so enticing. But at the end thereof is a wave of death. They don't show them down there at the hospital where they can't hardly breathe. They don't show them down there when they're dying of liver cancer, amen. They don't show none of that. Amen. Those drug dealers on the street, they always give you the first hit free, amen, until they get you, and then they want to pay you, then they make you pay for it. Amen. It's a dirty trick. That the devil's got. It's sin. It's deceitful. Amen. We got to press on. But then we got to be a partaker of Christ. Turn back with me to Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 14. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast. That verse number 1 in chapter 3 says, Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. We're partakers of Christ. We're partakers. The Bible says here in verse number 14, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. If we hold the beginning. What's that beginning of our confidence? That beginning is that faith in Christ, amen. Hey, when we got born again, when we got saved that day, I don't know about you, but I trusted Christ with everything within me. As believers, as born again, as Christians, as saved people, hey, we trust Christ with our eternity, don't we? Then why in the world can't we trust Him with our day-to-day activities? Hey, man, hey, I don't know if you need this tonight, but I'm preaching old Gary Collins, old cornbread, hey, man, if you will. Hey, I tell you what, I need more faith. I need that confidence that I had from the beginning. Hey, I was willing to come down to an old-fashioned altar and pour my heart out to God and beg God to save me. Hey, man, I trust Him with everything, brother Larry. Amen. But somehow, because of the deceitfulness of sin, because of the day-to-day drudgery, the fight, the warfare, somehow, we forget, hey, man, what He done. Hey, we forget about the pit that He pulled us out of. Hey, we forget that the nastiness that was all over us, hey, that He cleaned us up. Hey, we forget about all that. We forget about the changes that He made in the heart. Yeah, man. Hey, I remember when I first got saved. I ain't talking about for a week. I ain't talking about for months. I'm talking about for years. Hey, it seemed like every service, I was down at the altar crying, begging God to help me. And because somehow, I don't even understand it, some way, He showed me something else in my life that needed to get right with Him about. Amen. I don't know about you, but I had to go see a lot of people. I didn't want to. I didn't want to, Brother John, but I had to go back and see a lot of people. Yeah. Beg for their forgetness. Tell them I'm sorry about how low down and wicked I was, and I didn't mean to be like that. Amen. But it wasn't me. It was the old man. Amen. That was inside. Amen. He just made me do some things that I didn't even understand at the time. But now, when we get born again, when the Holy Ghost moves in, He begins to go through them. Hey, man, have you ever heard that song, "My Heart Is Like a House"? One day I let the Savior in. Amen. And there were many rooms that I didn't want to let Him in. Amen. But He just go and He say, "What's in this room?" I said, "Oh, Lord. Lord, you don't want to go in there. It's all right. It ain't that bad." He said, "No, I want to go in there." Amen. Oh, there's a bunch of sin. And it needs to be cleaned up in there, son. And you need to get right with me. Amen. I'd work on that. And then the next Sunday, he said, "Well, what's in this room?" I said, "Oh, Lord, it ain't like that room. You don't just give me some time." He said, "No, I need to see what's in here. Oh, cornbread. My son, you need to get right with them folks. Hey, you need to clean that mess up." Amen. I mean, if we're going to be partakers of Christ, amen, there's some things we got to do. If we want to do it, Psalms 37:3 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." That's when we got faith, amen. If we want unlimited blessings, like Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." What is that belief? Amen. That's faith. All things are possible if we got faith in Him. Amen. I'm not preaching to you something that's real easy. Hey, sometimes this gets real hard. Hey, sometimes plowing with a mule gets real hard. Amen. Hey, sometimes while you're plowing, you run up on the old stump. Well, you know what you do when you run up that stump? You just back up and hit it again. Amen. There's a lot of times when I was in the landscape and I try to pull up some bushes. Amen. I have the old zero turn hooked up to it and I just take off and it hit, bam, and it pulled me back. And I said, well, we jarred it a little bit. We just hit it again, bam, and we come back and just keep doing it. And finally the old ground will break loose and it just snatches right up. Amen. That's the way it is with some things in our life.
Yeah.
Amen. Hey, we just got to get a running start and don't give a rip. Don't worry about getting thrown off the mower. Amen. Just take off as hard as you can get and just hit it. Amen.
Yeah.
Mark chapter 11, verse 24 says, therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when you pray, believe that ye will receive them. And you shall have them. Have you got any desires? Have you got any things that you want God to change in your life? Have you got any people that you want to see God save? I've been praying about my daughter. I've been praying that she get saved. And you know what? I believe that she will. I believe that she... You know, in my prayer life, but I told God, I said, God, I appreciate that she's going to get saved, her and my son, one day. I said, but I want to see it. I said, I want to hear it. That's what I said. I said, you know, I don't want, you know, I believe she's going to get saved. I don't want it to take my casket. I said, I want to hear it. About a month or so ago, her father-in-law got in a bad wreck. They didn't think he was going to live. A head-on collision with a man about 12 o'clock at night, and it killed the other guy. I seen her post something about pray. I texted her. I said, what's up? She told me. I said, how's he doing? She said, well, he broke both legs, broke every rib, busted his spleen. I forget broke every finger on his hand. I forget what all it was. It was a mess. But she said, right now he's alive. And I kept watching her post. Every day she posts, Brother Larry. Then one day she said, I never believe it. She said, I found myself today in the empty hallway at the hospital, on my face, begging God to help. She said, and praise God, He is helping. She said, praise God, He did hear. Oh. If I could tell you where all that girl's been. Oh, my soul. When I'd pray for her, I'd pray, God, help thy mind unbelief. We see press on. We see partakers of Christ. But I want you to see our high priest. We just talked about how he was our high priest. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. And we're just about done. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 21. It says, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, full of assurance of faith. We got a high priest, and we got to draw near with a heart full of assurance
and faith.
That seems like an easy thing, but sometimes it gets hard. It seems like an easy thing, especially here in the house of God with the family, amen. And sometimes it is easy in here. Oh, when Miss Carol and them singing, when Brother El was up preaching, amen. When Brother Potter's leading the Sunday school, man, we can get on board with that. We got some faith in us. But what about when we go out there on the job? What about when them boys is telling dirty jokes and when they're cussing and they just carrying on all kind of? This past week, I was in my little room. My room is right next to my supervisor. And the door was open. It's a steady line of traffic. Most of the time, the doors stay open. So I could hear a voice I was not familiar with in there with him. Didn't know who it was. I was in my room. But all of a sudden, he started cussing. So I just went over there to the door. And I pulled it shut. As I reached to pull it, the man that was doing the cussing, he said, "Hey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to offend you. I'm sorry." Amen. Now, I know the guy. He's our weapons guy. He's the top dog in our building. He's the military side. And he is the top dog. I know who he is when I see him. I don't know that I've ever spoken to him other than, "Hey." I don't know his name. But he knew who I was. And he knew, he didn't know, normal people wouldn't know why I was shutting the door. But he knew. I said, "It's okay." I shut the door. I went on back around. In just a second, he come walking in. He said, "Hey, Gary." He couldn't even see me. He said, "Hey, Gary." I come around. I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "Look," he said, "I didn't mean to drop them F-bombs. I didn't know you was here. I'm sorry, and I want you to know that I really mean it."
Amen.
That's what I said. I was like, "Wow.
Amen.
This guy called me by name."
Amen.
You know, and he apologized to me. He's way up yonder.
Amen.
I'm just telling you that if we'll set a standard for our life, it wasn't easy. It still ain't easy.
Amen.
I mean, when we have a thing, a protocol that we do every day, we do a word for the day, we do this day in history, and then they do jokes. Every day, he's got jokes in red, highlighted in red, because I throw a red light on him if he says anything out of color.
Amen.
And if I'm not there, it's wide open. And when I go on vacation, they have a week that they can cuss and call each other whatever they want to do and tell the dirtiest, nastiest jokes you ever want to hear. And the supervisor's okay with that. But when I'm there, they have to reel it back in. Because they know I don't put up with that junk.
Amen.
That's the way we all need to be.
Amen.
Hey, that workplace that you work in, it ain't got to be filthy.
Amen.
You can call them out, amen. Bless God, they ain't going to do it on my watch. No, sir. Let us hold fast. In verse number 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. God give us some promises in this book. And there's promises that we can stand on, amen. Those promises that we can live on, amen. Hey, just like I was talking about over there in Acts where it says that he got saved and his whole house. Hey, I'm talking about when my kids were little, I brought them down before the church. We got the men of the church to lay hands on them, and I gave them to the Lord, amen. Hey, that's a promise that I made to God that I would live right and do right before them. I give them back to God, just like Hannah gave Samuel back to God.
Yes.
Amen. You don't see that no more. I don't know why. I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't know if people are just scared of the commitment. But you know what? Sometimes that's what it takes. It takes that commitment in your mind thinking, hey, I made a promise to God that I would be faithful, that I would do right. That'll keep you straight. Amen. Let us hold fast, but let us consider one another. Verse number 24. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That word provoke, it means to stimulate, to arouse, to call forth, to excite, to incite, to inflame. That's what we're supposed to do for one another. Amen. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22, and we're just about done. I know I done told you that one time. This is number two. Matthew chapter, we're going to be out of here before 7 o'clock. I promise you that. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 36. It said, Master, which is the great commandment of the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. All right, we understand that we're to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, body, everything. But what about my problem? My problem. Did I not tell you? Matthew 22, starting in verse number 36. 22, starting in verse number 36 through 40. But my problem ain't with the Lord, which I do fall short on that. Don't get me wrong. But my real problem is with my neighbor. Loving my neighbor as myself. Now, I love you, Brother Richard, but there is a line there. I'm just being honest with you. I'm not saying that it's supposed to be like that, Brother Larry. I ain't saying that at all. Maybe you're not like that. But we don't need to be like that. We need to, whatever Brother Richard needs. If I see him with a need, I need to look at it as my need. Ain't that right? By the way, I need a couple $100. Oh, no. Whoop! See, I just slid that in there, amen. No, for real. For real. When are we going to get back to that? When am I going to get back to that? Amen. Let's pray for one another. That's where we need to be. We don't need to be well, I tell you what. I don't like the way old Brother David ain't here. I ain't talking about him. I don't like the way Brother David is doing that Sunday school. He's talking too fast. He's talking too loud. He ain't talking loud enough. You know? But that ain't the way we're supposed to be. If we got anything, we should be going to the Lord and say, Lord, you know, I really can't hear Brother David. And I can't keep up with him. Lord said, well, that's the reason they tape it. You can rewind it, go back, listen to it. Okay, yeah, you're right, Lord. I didn't think about that. Huh? I don't know. God might not talk to you like that, but that's what he talks to me. I mean, when we get along, and you know what? The way we're supposed to do when we get with God, hey, guess what? Tell them about stuff like that. Tell them, hey, there's some brothers in the church, you know. Hey, God, I didn't like the way he said that. I didn't like the way he looked at me. Well, your glasses are dirty. You can't see anyway, boy. You know, I mean, but that's your time with God. And when you can't be honest with nobody else, you need to be honest with him and just pour your heart out, because guess what? He knows when you just sugarcoating it. He knows when you just say, like, I'm going to try to pull the wool over God. You ain't going to do it.
Amen.
So just be honest and open.
Yes.
And guess what? Then He'll speak to your heart. He'll be honest and open with you. And whatever that junk is going on in your heart, you can clean it up a lot quicker.
Amen.
Instead of Him getting on to you for lying, you know, and having to deal with you and chastise you for lying about your prayer life.
Amen.
For lying in your prayer life.
Amen.
I'm going to be honest. Most of my repentance needs to be repented of. Amen. When I'm confessing things to God, most of the time it needs to be repented of, Brother Larry. It's a mess. But it ain't got to be like that. We can grow and we can help each other. Brother Elwood was preaching about somebody drifting. Maybe, if we was encouraging them, maybe if we was praying for them, I ain't want to say it, but I feel like I need to. Maybe if we was doing what we ought to do, maybe they wouldn't be drifting. I mean, you see Brother Cornbread going through something? You see him not acting right? You see Brother Cliff not doing right, not acting right? Hey, Lord, I don't know what's going on. Lord, I pray you help him. Lord, I reached out my hand to Brother Darnell. He didn't shake my hand. Well, maybe he didn't see it. I'm telling you, in your prayer life, God can straighten a lot of old junk out. Amen.
Amen.
We just got to give Him the chance. We got to give Him the opportunity. We got to be honest and open with God about everything.
Amen.
Then you trying to get me in trouble? Then we can help each other, and we can help the church. You know, amen. I don't want to see. I don't know about you. I have been drifting. I've been there before. I know what it's like. It's a scary place. Brother Edward asked this morning, has anybody ever been out to sea and lose all the power and everything? Brother Darnell's hand went up first. And I'm thinking, my soul. Ain't no telling how many times he's been through that.
Amen.
You know, been out there with nothing. And just at the mercy of the sea and at the mercy of God to send somebody by. Drifting too far from the shore, but maybe we could help. Maybe we're the lifeline to get them back before they get too far.
Amen.
You know, we see somebody drifting a little ways. Let's go after them. Let's try to help them. Let's be that encouragement that God said right here that we're to be. Did it say once a week? No. That ain't a trick question. It says every day while it is called today.
Amen.
All right? So tonight, if you hadn't encouraged somebody, encourage them tonight before you walk out the door because you got 2 minutes before the lights are out. All right? All right, let's pray. Lord, we still do love you. Thank you for your blessing. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the Word of God that helps us and encourages and strengthens us. Father, I thank you for the message. Lord, you help me. Father, I pray you just have your will and way in our hearts and lives in our church. Be with Brother Edward and Brother Joe and them in that meeting. In Christ's holy name, we do pray. Amen. Amen.